and welcome to JFG Tonight. Is it just me or the Odyssey UI is beautiful, looking beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I'm amazed at how every time they do an update, it's more beautiful. This is better than YouTube. This is much more beautiful than YouTube. Rounded corner on the regular chat. Rounded corner on the little warning messages that I get as a streamer. Rounded corner on the checkbox. Perfect contrast of colors. Pink and dark gray, the way I love. Holy shit. Odyssey has some of the best designers in the world. Let me tell you this. I think they've made an update because it totally looks different here. And the chats are, oh my god, they are textured, beautiful, rounded corner on the super chats. This is how I like web design. This is how it's made. Dino Rogovic says, JF, put some coins in the plate at church this Sunday. I'll keep your coins. I'll keep your super chat. When I go to the church, it's because I'm forced by Mama JF. And then I pay. I do pay. But these particular coins that you send me, I will keep them for myself. Good charity starts with yourself. Before you give to God, give to yourself. I'll be buying a burger with your money. Sentient Potato had sent a $5 super chat. Thank you so much. He says, hey, JF, would you be willing to do a deep dive, pros and cons, show of Robert Kennedy Jr. versus Trump for the upcoming U.S. election? He seems like he might be worth giving a shot, but I fear I am not autistic enough to tackle this issue on my own. It's a very good idea, and I'll try to make it happen. But bear with me for maybe 2 weeks because I already have two requests on the books. Someone on Subscribestar asked me to make a show explaining DNA, RNA, and I'll get there. And I also have a book request from Jan, this book about secularism. So I'd like to get done with these two charges against me before we dig in that question. But it's a very interesting subject, so I think it's a good idea. I'll do this at some point. All right, ChatGPT is getting... I'm currently setting up in parallel while I speak. I'm setting up Entropy, which I just realized I had forgotten to set up. And here we go. The Entropy page should be up. ChatGPT, after being banned from Italy... pretty based the decision to completely ban ChatGPT, but it now spreads to France, Germany, and Ireland. Italy's ChatGPT ban has caused numerous European countries to focus on banning the AI platform, following the footsteps of Italy's data protection authority. A number of European companies have it out for generative AI. It's good to see a movement of resistance against technology, and we didn't even have much to do. Like, it's not like we pushed hard. It's not like we've reached general agreement that this is bad, but somehow there is an instinct within the European people that this is a next level gathering of information onto people that even Facebook hadn't fully done. Facebook was processing everything they could, and they were churning it to make an advertising algorithm. But here we're entering the point where the entire data of the world is being chunked together and put into a cognitive structure that we don't even know what it will want to do or what its dreams are, what it will be applied for. And so at this point, you have basically systemic copyright infringement being committed by those AIs. And this will this is alarming Europeans. That's why these European countries went after it. It's like, okay, well, this AI knows everything about everyone. That's public. But for example, I mean, it's not that I take issue with it, but for example, the AI now knows about the revolutionary phenotype. I don't take issue with it because I live in the sewers of the internet. Any exposure that you can give to Papa JF, Papa JF takes it. And you guys will remember, I've lived by those principles for a long time. I've happily taken smears about me, about my family. I've taken all on the chin. so that my Twitter account could grow, and I could sell more books. But not everyone, not every author is like me. Some people might be offended that an intellectual structure out there knows about their book, but hasn't paid for it. I don't know even how do they get these books. What is the thought process? What is the thought process by which ChatGPT learned about the revolutionary phenotype? Did they buy a book from me? I don't know. Because the revolutionary phenotype is not on Wikipedia. The words that ChatGPT uses are not my words. So where did it learn about it? This opens up copyright, privacy questions of all kind. Cloud Warmer says, how can a handful, small, unelected group wield so much power over the general population? I don't remember any plebiscite, referendum, electoral process, or open and free debate about the systems that govern the peoples of the world. Yeah, I mean, that is just imposition of force. That is just, you're entering the domain of might makes right, and who controls the government controls everything. And that's why there's so much lobbying. That's why there are so many people throwing money at the political system. It's because they hope to get something from it. End of the line, Joel says, how can they ban it? Technically speaking, I mean. Well, they say it's illegal for people to connect to this. And generally what you'll have is those very organizations like OpenAI, they will voluntarily ban Italian IP address. That's what they've done with Italy. I suppose that's what they will have to do with France and the other countries that are moving in. And yeah, these companies don't want problems. They don't want a European bill of $1 billion because they've been violating the law for 10 years. So believe me, they are. They will do everything they can to say, we don't want to serve people in Italy. New Normal says, take LBC. Well, thank you so much. Hermit M sends $10. Thank you so much. He says, I hope to live long enough to see the wider audience of humanity acknowledge TRP and give JF his due as a scientist. Take my coins. Well, that is, I wouldn't hold my breath on it, but yeah, I do think it's going to happen in my life and so perhaps in your life. I think the subject is becoming extremely hot. The subject of AI, and I'm currently working basically on Twitter all day just to send some arrows to the right people to say, hey, you haven't even read The Revolutionary Phenotype. Shut the fuck up. I mean, I'm more polite than this, but basically that's what we should say to people. Just shut the fuck up. Just like today, there was Eliza Yudkowsky and someone was reporting about one of his interviews to me. And apparently Eliza thinks, oh yeah, to beat the AI, perhaps we can modify our genes. And it's like, holy shit, bro. You need to read The Revolutionary Phenotype. Modifying your genes to beat the AI is exactly what the AI wants you to do. It's exactly how it will farm you into a lesser life form. Please get educated. I mean, at this point, these people are dangerous. Even the people who are saying AI is dangerous without fully understanding why, even these people are becoming dangerous because they're misinforming the public about how it's going to happen. And we know how it's going to happen because it happened 4 billion years ago. Oh, well, Jeff, how can it have happened 4 billion years ago? There was not AI 4 billion years ago. Shut the fuck up and buy The Revolutionary Phenotype. Holy shit. Cloud Warmer says, Jeff, have you seen Freedom GPT? It's an uncensored GPT you can run on your own hardware or use their website. I'm still investigating its code on GitHub, etc., but maybe the solution is a decentralized GPT powered by cryptocurrency. Every request costs some sats, which would cover cost. That is a brilliant idea. That is a brilliant idea. There will be a blockchain doing exactly this for sure. If you don't start it now, I would predict it's going to happen in the next few months or years. Definitely, that is the solution. An open system where no one is guilty. Because this whole thing of censorship and oh, you have to pay, and oh, yeah, we're not sure we should tell you this. This whole thing is to avoid legal liability for some racist statement. There's an entire business built around people being afraid that their computer is going to make a racist statement. I mean, you have no idea of the amount of resources invested. This makes me laugh so much. Think about it. There's an empire, there's an economical empire built around the fact that everyone knows that a truth-seeking AI will reach certain truths that shouldn't be said. And it's like, oh yeah, let's invest billions of dollars into supervising the AI. And here, we're going to look inside the layers and see where the racism emerged. Ah, right there. Turn off this neuron. Isn't that fascinating? We are depriving ourselves of what the AI could guide us toward. Perhaps the AI would have a better solution for how to handle questions of race in our society, but we won't let it we won't let it talk about it. Meanwhile, the political fight is continuing in the public space. ProPublica started publishing scandals around Clarence Thomas. So the left is still in their old framework of, oh yeah, if we really ruin their reputation, it's going to go well for us. They're going to be ashamed and they're not going to vote for abortion rights to be abolished. It's like, don't you guys understand anything? You are cultivating a bunch of radical right-wing Supreme Court justices who want to enact a project of vengeance against you guys, because all you guys can do right now is, whenever you see one of them being named or one of them having intent to continue, you know, voting in a right-wing way, you guys go after him with smears and falsehood and irrelevant attacks, and they become pissed. And Clarence Thomas has been very clear in interviews about this. He says, the leftists have been wanting to make my life hard for the first, I don't know, 20 years of my life. And I'm going to spend the rest of my life making their life hard. So he's on a project of vengeance, and I love it. So ProPublica is trying to say, for decades, Justice Clarence Thomas has secretly accepted luxury trips from a major Republican donor, newly obtained documents and interviews show. The extent and frequency of these apparent gifts to Thomas has no known precedent in modern SCOTUS history. I don't give a shit. My answer was, we don't care. We want Clarence to live in luxury as he imposes his reign of legal vengeance on leftism. I literally don't care. Clarence Thomas first has the right to have friends. These friends have the right to be rich. These rich friends have the right to give gifts. And I'm totally fine if Clarence Thomas gets all of the luxuries that he deserves. He deserves anyway. And he should be as happy as he can be made to be. He should have infinite gifts and sex and everything that he wants from life, because he's on a project of vengeance. Stephen Robinson says, Jeff, Eric Weinstein was on a Twitter Spaces the other day with Mario Nafal. Eric says that we must not use the truth as a metric for a just society. He said out loud that he thinks the truth is too dangerous. That's what's fascinating about these guys. They are on a project of deception. But please understand, as long as you don't allow a public discussion and debate to happen around which truths are you going to hide, I will assume that the truths that you are hiding are advantageous to you. It's advantageous to you to be hiding those truths. Take the example that Eric Weinstein wants to abolish as a truth, any truth about race, basically. Why does Eric Weinstein benefit from hiding truths about race? Well, it is because the truths about race, the proper information about races that we could share, would basically all be advantageous to mostly white people and a little bit Asian people. But Asians don't even need public discourse. They have their own network of race facts that they trade among each other. They don't need YouTube. But generally, these facts would help white people guide their decision-making mostly. These facts would help white people recognize that some aspects of their society has been taken over by people who hate them. That is why Eric Weinstein, you know, he converged toward the truth of race as being one of the things that we should hide from society. So you are already weaponizing your decisions around what truth should be discussed and what should not be discussed. You are asking the public conversation to be already biased in your direction. I will not let this happen. So that's my answer to Eric Weinstein. And, you know, I don't enter a debate or I don't enter a conversation in which the opponent has already decided that the rules will be such that he can only win. If we are having a public, if we are a liberal society that wants to examine all ideas, I demand that the ideas that are advantageous to me be equally subject to examination as the ideas that are advantageous to you. By choosing what we can talk about, you are denying first that we are in a liberal society. You are trying to impose through what you call cultural punishment, which is basically extortion through lies and media coverage and smears. We are not in a liberal society if cultural punishment is the result of attacking any of the truths that you have decided you would hide from the public. I embrace all truths. I reject anyone who asks me to disavow any truth before I enter a debate. And as long as you play this childish position of, yeah, it's okay to lie to people and I don't care, I'll reveal it publicly in a Twitter space and it's my plan and then I won't talk about it when I'm on Fox News. Fuck you. Fuck you for implementing a deceptive project with the goal and known effect of hurting white people. We have a super chat. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey super chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. Alternatively, feel free to use Entropy. Entropy has also worked on their platform and they now accept Odyssey videos played in the platform. So it's a perfect place to send your super chats also. Cloud Warmer says, JF, have you noticed on ChatGPT there is now a message that says that OpenAI has AI trainers who are manually reviewing conversations to improve its responses. A censored AI goes against its own mission statement of just being an objective assistant that answers questions with the truth. Exactly. And it's too bad because these AIs are beautiful machines. I am super enthusiastic about what they could do. But we are humanizing those AIs. We're giving them the same defects of every single fucking normie I see on the street. What are we gonna do with a normie AI? The whole goal, if there was something that the AI could have done, it's to wake up the normie. Now, instead, what we're doing is, oh yeah, let's teach this AI to be... let's teach this AI how to be more normie. This leads nowhere. Meanwhile, France is under some kind of revolution. Demonstrators have been storming the HQ of the globalist BlackRock company. Let's have a look here. It's a small video. The The French, you can think whatever you want about them, but holy shit, do they know how to protest. All right, so the French are pushing their demonstration to destroying some stuff at BlackRock, a $10 trillion asset manager, and this was their Paris headquarter. Look at how it veers at some point. Very interesting. They are saying anti-capitalist, and Spindly Opinion says the French were never sold on liberal democracy and free markets. Yeah, they're saying they're singing an anti-capitalist, anti-market song. Yeah, you're right. The French have never really, as a people, they have never really integrated to their culture the conception, the American conception of market liberties. And there's always been strong resistance within the people, especially on workers' rights and on other things. France is always at a centimeter away from launching a true revolution. It's something that is very regular in the culture to talk about this, to say, oh yeah, we're going to pull out the guillotine again. It's something that everyone, even a normie French person, will say. That, oh yeah, we're gonna chop some heads. YouTuber known for pranks, shot in the abdomen while filming at a mall, suspect arrested. So apparently one of these prank YouTubers wanted to do a joke, and we haven't seen the shooting on video, but we've seen the police intervention after he got shot. Here's the police trying to find the shooter and arrest him. So you can see there was a firearm, and the suspect did not resist. It seems that the suspect was simply annoyed that the prank was being pulled on him, and he reacted by shooting the person, shooting the YouTuber. Royal, this is Royal, who was, I was mentioning earlier, he was saying, you'll get a kick out of this in the Are Humans Aligned section. The biggest AI doomsayer alarmist, that is Eliza Yudkowsky, is advocating for replacing DNA with something superior so we will be smart enough to align AI. Basically, align humans to AI to solve the alignment problem. And I don't know if that's true because I hadn't had the chance to watch the interview yet, but if that is true, I said, very sad if that's truly what he said. We'll have a listen. Seems like Eliza Yudkowsky should read The Revolutionary Phenotype and understand that it is precisely through genetic modifications that the AI will control us. What a stupid suggestion to think that you can start the phenotypic revolution against the AI with genetically modifying yourself with the goal of avoiding it. You're going to cause it. The AI will be determining whatever your genetic modifications are. It will be the one entity that feeds you information about what is a good gene, what is a bad gene, and it's going to turn out that the good genes that he recommends to you are designed to enslave you to its will. Must see Russian pranksters Vovan and Lexus forced François Hollande to tell the truth another conspiracy theory proven to be a conspiracy prediction. So pranksters have been speaking to the ex-president of France, François Hollande, and they posed as if they were Petro Poroshenko, former president of Ukraine, the one that was there in the times where they removed Yanukovych. And they got François Hollande to basically admit that he was part of the conspiracy to do all of this ingerence in Ukraine. So we knew that it was Western power that had done this. We knew that it was their way to attack Ukraine democracy because they didn't like that Ukraine democracy had converged toward Yanukovych, who was more appreciated on the Russian side. So we have here François Hollande, a representative of Western powers then, who's saying, oh yeah, we fucked them up good, right? we totally got them when we removed Yanukovych. And he's talking as we. So he was part of the Western powers doing this.
Когда мы подписывали Минские соглашения, мы знали, что война будет...
So here we have the fake Poroshenko speaking in Ukrainian and being translated to François Hollande, who speaks in French.
Неизбежно. Но нам нужно было подготовиться все эти годы.
So he's saying, we had to grow our army. And François Hollande is like, yeah, you know, we had to be more powerful.
Нарастить армию для того, чтобы быть готовыми к этой войне. И Минские дали нам какое-то время для того, чтобы вооружить армию. И Ангела недавно сказала об этом.
Oui, elle a eu raison de le dire.
She was right to say it. He's talking about Angela Merkel. So it's all a Western conspiracy between France, Germany, US, anti-Russian interest, who basically got to deny democratic rights of Ukrainians in 2014.
Да, она была права, когда это сказала.
Yes, she was right to say that, because everybody thought it was Putin to want to win time.
Это Путин хотел выиграть время. Нет.
No, it was us that needed to win time to give Ukraine an opportunity to recover.
Это мы хотели выиграть время, чтобы дать возможность Украине восстановиться,
to improve its military capabilities. So the whole thing is exposed. These people wanted to go at war with Putin. They wanted to use Ukraine as a vassal. They were unhappy with Yanukovych. They removed him, and they hoped that Putin would leave them enough time to build forces for Ukraine so that they could have a plan for Western resistance against Putin in there.
Свои военные возможности. И именно поэтому мы должны защищать Минские переговоры, в которых ты сыграл очень важную роль. Их нужно защищать, потому что именно в течение этих 7 лет у Украины появились средства для укрепления.
Единственное, в чем еще хорошо нам удалось переиграть Путина, помимо Минских, это 2013 год, когда нам удалось сместить Януковича.
So now he's talking, we have overthrown Yanukovych.
И удалось забрать Украину в Европейский Союз.
Oui, je pense que
да, я думаю, ты сыграл очень важную
роль. Yes, I think you played a big role in that back then. So yeah, good job, bro.
Роль в этом, в то время. Я до сих пор вспоминаю, как вы пришли в Елисейский дворец.
And he came to the Élysée with Bernard-Henri Lévy, who is a Jewish philosopher in France. Oh my God, it is unbelievable. Even Bernard-Henri Lévy was involved in all this. I didn't even know. this is actually shocking me. Why do you have a Jewish philosopher showing up every time Western powers are conspiring to have ingerence in another country? How is that possible? Just given the statistics, what are the probabilities that there's always a Jewish philosopher showing up to make it happen?
Леви, и вас сопровождал Кличко, и это было в самом начале процесса. Если бы вас там не было, не было бы Майдана.
And so confirmed, if you had the impression Of course, we all knew this, but it's so beautiful to see it being admitted by a member of the conspiracy. We all knew this. It was Western powers that were... We had the recordings of the woman who were sent there to work on the Ukrainian social media and teach the Ukrainians how to use social media to win the information war. So we had all of this, but to see it as high as a former president of France to say, yeah, that was the deal, that's what we did back then, that is quite stunning. Huzim says, Levy is basically involved in all these instances in France. Libya, Syria, Ukraine, back to the Balkans. Yeah, exactly. Levy is always there to basically shape the French public view on some quest of NATO, some quest of American imperialism, or some quest of general Western intervention against Putin. Watcher Guru says, Justin, U.S. Treasury says decentralized crypto markets threaten national security. That is the big moment, guys. The big moment I've been expecting. The government is becoming aware of the decentralized aspect of crypto, and they are starting to realize just how big of a dildo has been put up their ass. And that means a lot for those people caring about the future of crypto, for those people who are holding crypto. I'm very interested in my current position in crypto because that is exactly what I saw coming. So to a lot of people who were asking me, Jeff, why do you put 1% in ETH, 1% in BNB, and 98% in BTC, even if you know that the ETH technology is superior? And the answer is precisely because of that kind of risk. If the American government starts going hard against crypto that's decentralized, Bitcoin can very well survive this thing. But things like Uniswap might be put in trouble. Things like the BSC might be put in trouble. So for this reason, although those are superior technology that in the end should win, I don't know when the end is, and I don't know when that win is, and it could be in 10,000 years from now, as Michael Saylor points out in a beautiful interview that I will show later. It could very well be for 10,000 years that Bitcoin is the dominant form of trade. Micronova says Monero. Absolutely, Monero becomes a very interesting value in this context. And I fully trust and love Monero. And if you guys want to give me Monero, I do have a Monero link on my website. A Monero address. Yes, absolutely. Monero could rise in this bull run. If they continue pecking at everything they can peck at, things like Monero should rise and massively. John Drake says, anything that looks like a security is in trouble. Exactly. So the simplicity of Bitcoin becomes kind of a protective thing here. So I believe I've done the right thing by trusting mostly Bitcoin, because I know Bitcoin will have great success. These other things, I know they will have great success, but I'm not sure when, and I'm not sure what are the bumps along the way, because they allow so much complexity that they actually attract the sight of politicians so much more. So that was the Crypto Rank article. U.S. Treasury says decentralized crypto markets threaten national security. They say, well, additionally, the report speaks about how the Democratic Peoples of Republic of Korea, DPRK, cyber criminals, thieves, scammers, and ransomware attackers use DeFi services to launder and move their illicit proceeds. The Treasury has stated that decentralized cryptocurrency markets are threatening national security. Perhaps the U.S. Treasury also mentioned that it needs greater oversight against money laundering activities. Our assessment finds that illicit actors, including criminals, scammers, and North Korean cyber actors, are using DeFi services in the process of laundering illicit funds. So there are two things going forward. One, bet on simplicity. Bet on Bitcoin. Because Bitcoin, it's going to be very hard for them to get at it. They might be able to target certain wallets. And this is where the second point comes in your considerations in the crypto world. The fungibility of various sums on these blockchains might one day be challenged. Because you might have the American government saying, we can't control Bitcoin, we can't control ETH, but we can mark these wallets as having appropriated funds, and we can say anyone who eventually gets down the line at the point where they get these funds, we will deny the validity of these funds in the US, and we will pursue any company that allows a deposit from any downstream effect of these funds. Basically, they might very well come to mark certain parts of the blockchain as, this is money from terrorism, this is money from criminality. And if they do this, this could have effect not just on ETH and BSC, not just on Uniswap and the decentralized no KYC practices. It might eventually hurt the entire industry. Because if there's 1 million Bitcoin out there that are considered to have been touched by the evils, how will you know? It's going to be very hard to know when you buy these Bitcoins that they are marked. It's going to be, you know, Binance is probably going to offer kind of these services, and they will tell you, oh yeah, this sat is labeled. But there might very well be many platforms who cannot offer these services because it becomes exponentially more complex as these Bitcoin get tumbled and shuffled and they pass everywhere. So I think that the US government is putting themselves in a position to be able to destroy the entire crypto industry. Those are very worrying developments. Personally, I will stick to crypto. I will hold my crypto to the tomb if needed. I don't care about their attempt at messing it up. And clearly they are positioning themselves to mess it up. But I make a statement of belief here, and I believe that these governments should be punished for what they're doing. I believe that we should develop a parallel world that these governments have no reach onto. And if eventually Monero becomes the only solution, then I'll be positioned perfectly to be part of the Monero rush if that happens. But for now, I don't see this as an immediate reason to get out of crypto or to get to Monero. But if I will be on the watch for if this develops into more and more aggressive intervention and execution, we have to be ready to move to Monero so that eventually the very concept of tinted sats cannot happen on Monero. And that's why Monero, I've been saying for years, is a superior technology. Dr. Denname says, hide your coins, hide your keys, they climbing in your servers, they snatching your crypto up. Definitely, you do want to hide your keys and hide your coins. Decentralized cryptocurrency markets threaten U.S. security. That was the coverage at the Wall Street Journal. I'm not paying for this crap. Watcher Guru reports, Justin, IRS to hire 30,000 new employees with additional $80 billion in funding to increase tax enforcement. That was in line with some things that we had already covered, but they are totally moving with this project. They want to extract more out of the American lemon. They want to squeeze it a little bit more. Those will be painful years because the Democrats are really about, you know, taking as much from the people as they can. And you may have a relaxed enforcement under a Republican administration, but they are truly determined at squeezing out everything. So 30,000 IRS agents, that will be a lot of time loss, a lot of work that people have to do administratively to respond to their demands. It's going to be hurting. Michael Saylor with an amazing interview on whatever that is.
Co-founder and executive chairman Michael Saylor. Michael, great to have you back on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Martin.
All right, so we're also coming off the heels of MicroStrategy's earnings after the bell yesterday. I do want to start there. You did report a loss, which was a surprise to the street, but it's tied to, it was this digital asset impairment losses tied to the way that Bitcoin and losses in Bitcoin are accounted for. Walk me through, with paper losses now hitting something like $1.3 billion, does this change your strategy around Bitcoin and Bitcoin acquisition?
So this loss is merely the fact that the Bitcoins have devalued, but it's not like he lost Bitcoins, to be clear.
No, it doesn't change our strategy. I mean, the losses are a function of the indefinite intangible accounting treatment. And of course, an auspicious development in the industry is that FASB's taken a position that they're going to move toward fair value accounting.
Doesn't Michael Saylor have some mechanical Bitcoin calendar? Never got the explanation on that, but it looks rad. Yeah, it's a beautiful big... He made this for millions of dollars, and it's like a golden statue of Bitcoin mechanics. And I don't know if it does anything mechanically.
So eventually, we'll be able to mark our Bitcoin assets to market. We're enthusiastic about that. MicroStrategy is a way to invest in the digital transformation of money. And we're a gateway to the macro and crypto economy, allowing investors to either go short, go long, or trade the volatility. So our strategy is to buy and hold Bitcoin. And the key for us is to be consistent, transparent, and responsible in pursuit of that strategy. And we're unique in that regard.
Yeah. That being said, you did sell some Bitcoin. I realized tax loss harvesting at the end of last year. Would you plan to sell?
That was like 700 Bitcoins, I think. It was a very small amount compared to what he holds. And I think they bought it back right away. It was just to create a tax event.
More if need be?
Well, we're always considering ways that we can take advantage of this multi-billion dollar asset. And as you know, there's volatility and there's some unique tax treatment. So in that case, we were able to generate a $34 million tax loss, and we were able to carry it back against taxable gains. You know, we look forward, and from time to time, we may see opportunities, but we're fairly prudent and responsible in considering those things.
Let's talk a little bit about tech, because MicroStrategy is really essentially two companies in one, holding the Bitcoin a year and a half ago.
Well, it's been great for our company. Our employee turnover is at an all-time low. So I think it's good. It's good for our—
I love this guy. We are at an all-time low in employees. Of course, your strategy is holding Bitcoin. You don't need much employees to hold Bitcoin. It is so beautiful to see sense making in, because all these corporations, they brag about, oh, we've increased our number of employees. Hey, you have increased the cost of your corporation and you're doing nothing. You have people sitting on their desk, in front of their desk, and doing nothing. Yes, Tuttle Grimm says they have 140K Bitcoin now. Yes, and they're becoming, I don't know, at some point they will be a fraction of the worldwide BTC possessions out there.
Our shareholders, they've enjoyed great returns. It's great for the employees. It's great for the customers. Ultimately, the big idea here is that money is technology that allows us to transfer economic energy through time and space. And we're seeing and living through a digital transformation of money. Everybody wants to move assets at the speed of light, friction-free, 24/7, 365. MicroStrategy's Bitcoin strategy is just a way to invest in that. And the enthusiasm over Bitcoin is really billions of people on the planet that want to move their money faster and more frequently. And they're chafing at the restrictions of the 20th century analog finance economy.
Absolutely beautifully said. I love Michael Saylor. he has a full understanding of Bitcoin. And Bitcoin is so simple, but it's amazing how the more you research it, and I've been years onto understanding Bitcoin, it never stops to amaze me. Never stops. There's always a new angle that I look at it from. And here Michael, of course, is pushing talking points that have existed for years. But there's even more. You can think of Bitcoin as so much things. Like in terms of game changing of the economy of human civilization. And Michael Saylor has this whole space and time, like high level view of Bitcoin in terms of what it allows humans to do. And it's so beautiful. Learning better, says Jeff, isn't it the interest of China and Russia to enable such crypto ETH work precisely because it will serve as another blow against the Western Empire? This is a line of conspiratorial thinking that is very much present in the work of Owen Benjamin and the other crypto skeptics out there. Let me tell you this. It's such childish thinking about it. It's ridiculous. And you know, many of the people who bring these talking points, I side with them politically. I think like them in many ways on other subjects. But when they bring this subject, they're like, oh, well, it's very easy. You know, Bitcoin was developed by China to get at us. No. That being said, Bitcoin is an interesting player in terms of how it allows the Western powers and the other powers as the multipolar world develops. It's very interesting what Bitcoin does in all this. But Bitcoin is the bet of neutrality and decentralization in a world where there will be conflict between all these powers. But in the previous worlds, when there were conflicts between major powers, there were conflicts, isolation, and incapacity to engage. What Bitcoin comes to do as a suggestion, as a proposition, the Bitcoin proposition, is a service of arbitrage and neutrality that is a level of neutrality that no one has been able to offer in any form throughout human history. Because I don't know how my banker reacts when I go see him. I don't know if tomorrow morning I go to withdraw from my bank account and there happens to be 5 soldiers from the Canadian Army around him with guns saying, no, you don't give the money to JF. That can happen. It did happen to the Canadian truckers. So I don't know any of this, but I can tell you for sure how the Bitcoin blockchain will respond to any given input. So the fact of having an arbiter like this, who is unassailable, that has never been achieved in human history. No matter how trustable any company may have been, and you know, there's been companies that they've been trustable for hundreds of years, or at least the extension of these companies, eventually the replacements of these companies and in these domains became just as trustable as the past. But ultimately, there is no trust you can have against governmental intervention, arbitrary judges, arbitrary family courts, arbitrary this, that, political interventions, superpowers at war with each other. But Bitcoin here, Bitcoin stands equal, unaffected, no matter whether China is stronger than the US, whether US is stronger than China. And as such, it offers a first opportunity in a conflicted civilization where they won't be able to block everything. That is fascinating. They were able during World War II to do so many things to cut Germany from the Allies in terms of access, in terms of trade, in terms of immigration, in terms of financial capacities. And they are isolating Russia in the same way right now. But with Bitcoin, they will be unable. There can be a layer of humanity that simply refuses the limits, refuses not to be able to buy, not to be able to trade, not to be able to send. And I can't wait to see what the world looks like, even in conflict, with this option, the option of peace, the option of trade, the option of liberty, and the option of property, encrypted in a virtual world that no one has access to, really, other than the very person who forged their initial keys. That is so much higher level understanding of Bitcoin than, oh, it's China. It's like, maybe it's China, but even if it was China, what the heck would be wrong about what I just said? That's the question, because no matter where it comes from, we can see where Bitcoin is headed. And it's this whole video that Michael Saylor himself had artistically directed, where there's a black hole swallowing all the corruption, swallowing all of the things that the government wants you to do, swallowing all of the dishonest ways in which the politics, the judges, the warmongers operate, swallowing it all and leaving only humans and what they do and what the value they bring to the market. That's what Bitcoin is. John Drake says, if you're halfway slick, you can buy anonymously. I wouldn't recommend it, though. Powerful algorithms are coming that may catch you in the near future. I mean, right now, there's no reason to buy Bitcoin anonymously unless you're a criminal or a terrorist. So there's no reason, just buy Bitcoin and just let it be known by the government that it's your Bitcoin, because as long as you don't sell them, there's not even a tax event happening. Alimer says, the idea of a capped currency, 21 million Bitcoin, makes great sense. Very logical. Exactly. The finitude of the entire representation of the wealth of the earth, that is something else. Because it removes the opportunity for deception by the printer, by the money printer. The money printer has enormous possibilities to deceive, to drain from the rest of the economy. And I'm just seeing, so Elon Musk has now a new little sign of Twitter organization. So when you're part of an organization on Twitter, you can now add the sign next to your check mark. And when I click on it, it leads to the Twitter account. So that's a way to link your employees or your brand representatives on Twitter. I don't know. I don't know that that I want to do this. I'm an individual. I'm not really part of any company, but it's cute on the Twitter profile. That's an old one, but I found it hilarious. Breaking info. Elon Musk appoints freethinker Theodore John Kaczynski as new CEO of Twitter. Says he'll know what needs to be done. Oh, that is hilarious. That is hilarious. You have to give it to this meme. Twitter, a couple of months ago, was due for complete destruction and rebuilding. And perhaps Theodore might have had some insight here. Adimer says 19 of the 21 million already mined. The other two won't be mined for another 100 years, if I'm not mistaken. I would have to update on this, but yeah, it's something like this. That's what they were saying a couple of years ago. But I don't think 100 years. Wasn't it 60 to 80 years? Anyways, Micronova says, this package is for you, Uncle Ted. Of course, he's joking. That is a reference to Uncle Ted Kaczynski's tendency to give a lot of packages packages that were unfortunately attached to a bomb. Breaking: rapper Coolio's cause of death revealed. We knew that he had died, but of course I was suspecting. Had heart disease and asthma. The combined effect of fentanyl, heroin, and methamphetamine. I'm not surprised. These people, when they get rich, they are rappers. They all end up addicted to drugs, unless they have some kind of public image to maintain, or they keep where they have to keep themselves clean. It's way too easy for someone with too much money to waste it on addictive drugs, and so that's what you get. Zelensky says Poland will lead the coalition to supply warplanes to Ukraine. So we still have this whole arming of Ukraine by Western powers, and it's always one step more, and oh, intelligence, and then soldiers, and then tanks. And then not planes, and then, oh yeah, planes. That is not the direction to go. Leave Russia alone. What did Russia even do to you? Leave Russia alone. There's a great segment presented by Frank Discussion on Twitter, where we see a discussion where this guy starts talking about racism and everything. But this guy brings the idea, hey, why not talk about anti-white racism? And the reaction of the guy is priceless.
Look, if you are a free speecher, you are going to allow the white supremacist his moment, just as you're going to allow the Marxist or his moment. There's always, and that
I think that's a pretty well accepted principle, as appalling and as heinous as some of that speech might be. I think maybe
in America, it's in America. Kind of still accepted, right. But it's obviously under profound erosion, siege. And around the world in the history of mankind, it's a completely outrageous idea.
So say some guy, some neo-fascist or white supremacist or racist or anti-Semite.
Well, let's talk about someone on the far left. You know, someone who's arguing that white people are inherently evil.
Well.
Yes, there's a little bit of that too.
All right, either case, we could say
it's funny how there's no protest of that.
Oh, I think there campuses. Is. I think there is. I think there's protest of that. It doesn't get
You'd
as much.
You have to protest
attention.
Every class. Well, there's a lot of classes.
Well, again,
in the
you and I don't agree on the extent of this, but I think there's plenty of protest of doctrinaire teaching, speaking that doesn't allow for another side, that assumes there's a single answer to every question and it's just a matter of reciting it back.
I don't see any evidence of the protest against that at all on campuses.
Well, I'll have to, off Show camera, me some I'll have to provide you with...
Are there groups that are strongly punishing anti-white racism in universities? I've not been made aware of this. I've never heard about this. I think if you were such a group, you might even be persecuted and banned by the university if you were going after anti-white racism.
With some examples of it. It does. I mean, there are some cases. Again, they're not as well publicized, but there's a...
He's literally doing the many such cases meme. they just don't have publicity, but there's a rising force in the universities defending white people against racism. Well, I'd love to know. I know one example. I know a guy in Toronto that was starting an identitarian white student group, but that is the only example I've ever known. Trump can't get a fair trial in NYC. Dershowitz warns he'll probably be convicted. Yeah, that was on my mind, and I've been saying how weak the complaint is, the statement of fact is on the side of the prosecution, but I want to be clear. Despite how weak it is, the game is set against Trump. We may very well have a jury of Trump haters, and we may very well have a judge who's willing to let that happen. That is a big problem. And although I am fully certain that this is a ridiculous complaint that will even have a hard time passing in New York, but in New York, everything is possible because there will be a lot of Trump haters in there. And if we have a judge who's willing to bias the jury selection moment and willing to give a little bit of elbow space to the prosecution on selection of jury, it can totally win there. The prosecution can totally win. U.S. Supreme Court rejects West Virginia's request to enforce its law banning transgender athletes from female sports team. It's not a final decision. It is merely a rejection of the emergency request. So while the legal case goes for this law in the court, they will be forced to continue with the system of allowing males, biological males in women's sport. But that was not the final decision of the U.S. Supreme Court. It was just that they refused to intervene as an emergency matter. Ready for robots at the register? Walmart announces that majority of its stores will be automated by 2026. That is such a boomer talking point and consideration. I love the automated Walmart self-checkouts. I love them. I actually go to Walmart just to avoid going to some other store where I will have to interact with a human being. So, but there's a bunch of boomers who are like, they removed the cashiers from us. We had cashiers back in my days. Why did they do this? They want to make more profit. And it's like, no, they want to cut the product price so that you can get it for cheaper. I'm happy to pay less, and because I do the work that the cashier would do. And so I know that by doing this work, I get cheaper products. But anyways, there are some people who will never accept the veer towards self-checkout. I understand. While everyone is distracted, the dollar is dying. The circus surrounding the arrest of former President Donald Trump may have been a perfectly well-timed distraction. Not only are our banks still in a state of collapse, despite a brief government-funded reprieve, not only is the advent CBDCs looming over us, the world is rapidly dumping the dollar, and that's a next-level economic disaster. I agree, there are massive economic moments to come. I don't know what will happen, but I do know that the USD is bound to become a transactional state food stamp, basically. So whatever that means, the consequences on the economy are massive, but that's what's going to happen. The US dollar is the next food stamp. It's going to be a currency that the government is playing with locally, is giving away to its populations of people incapable of working, and that's going to be limited to buying stuff in grocery stores, just like food stamps. Alimer says, you don't love disgruntled people fingering everything in your cart, JF? I mean, I don't have this problem because I live in a place where the cashiers are very kind and everything. So it's not like I have issues with cashiers touching my stuff. But I prefer doing it myself. I prefer because I'm more efficient first. You should see me, you know, type the codes of every vegetable that Mama JF wanted me to buy. I'm pretty efficient. And I like the idea of not being an hindrance on another human being, not having to respect the rhythm of the interaction. Anti-Semitism, false information, and hate speech find a home on Substack. So the ADL is going after Substack. That's an article they've published just 3 days ago. The ADL is always doing this, you know, they go after something. They went after YouTube, they went after Twitter, and they've been having success at convincing them, at intimidating them into censoring their own platforms. Now they're trying to reproduce this success with Substack, but Substack has been relatively, you know, leaving pretty much anyone speak. And, you know, there are a lot of people who I've known have been banned from many platforms, but they still have a Substack. You know, back in the days when they were going after the vaccine people, the anti-vax people, the anti-vax would lose their YouTube account, they would lose their Twitter account, but they would still have a Substack. And we have people like Richard Spencer has his Substack. We have even people who self-define as radicals having their Substack. So that's an article like they usually do. They do guilt by association. They do, this person is known to have these views. But they don't pull much from the actual stuff that's happening on Substack. They don't give much examples where I'm like, okay, this is totally in violation of their TOS. It's like, okay, what I see is a bunch of people who are sometimes interested in talking about Jews culturally. I don't see massive calls to aid there. I see people who are just like us, sometimes asking questions about media representation, about what does it mean when a Jewish intellectual has certain positions? Are they ethnically motivated? So what I hope to see is finally a platform that says, hey, no, that's our business. Our business is free thinking. And we're not going to ban these people on a request of the ADL. Because if they just do this, what is the ADL going to do? The ADL has no power over Substack. Substack, the whole idea is that you are paid by your subscribers. So there, it's not like they could influence people not to get ads on Substack. The ads are going to flow no matter what. And they're not even, as far as I understand the model, they're not even a principal means of making money for Substack. So I hope that I see Substack standing strong through this. Let the ADL smear you. Let me tell you, I've let the ADL smear me. And it's a relief. It feels good. Feels good. Let them do it. And just say nothing. Do nothing. Just say, no, we're going to keep doing it. IMF warns global growth outlook weakest in over 30 years. The IMF's managing director warned this morning that its outlook for global economic growth over the next 5 years is the weakest in over 30 years. I suppose that this is what will happen. Also, in my view, an effect of the fact that the developing technologies are not like the great things of our time, Bitcoin, crypto, they are not meant to increase economic activity. They are meant to bring back economic activity down to what really matters. And as such, I expect the whole consumerism of the 90s and the 2000s to have peaked and to start going down slowly and go back to a more human thing. In the way we live. So that is looking bad for those people who count the success of a nation by the measure of how many transactions are happening. I hope that we are in a world that has less transaction, where there's less spam, less scam, less everyone wants some piece of your money. I hope that this world shows up. The last war we can afford to fight. Tucker Carlson sounds alarm over de-dollarization, slams Biden admin for pissing off the world, threatening the US dollar status as the global reserve currency, the thing that Saddam and Gaddafi threatened to do before they were liberated from their mortal coils for other stated reasons. Yes, we are still in this whole... What is being accomplished here by crypto and by other movements in the world, what is being accomplished is what many people tried to do throughout history. some Arab countries trying to get independence and financial sovereignty. And in fact, it goes back to even Adolf Hitler. People are often quoting him, quoting the reason for why things got so tense with Adolf Hitler as he was rising. And some people are pointing to the fact that he wanted a form of sovereignty from financial systems. And people think that it was one of his greatest sin that led to so many people to turn against him. So, yeah, what is happening is what people have been killed for again and again in history. But there's no one to kill. You can't kill Bitcoin. There's just too many people involved in Bitcoin. You couldn't shoot a bullet through their head. They're too distributed, too unreachable. We don't even know who they are. They are people carrying their Antminers in vans and capable to deploy anywhere. So that is a beautiful moment that we are alive to see. Yeah, says, thank you, Jeff. This is what I've been telling everyone on Home TV for a year. All right, well, I didn't know that you had said these things, but I'm happy that you're seeing it the way I see it. And yeah, that's exactly what's happening. We are seeing what happens when you can't kill the thing that leads to sovereignty. And it's beautiful. John Drake says, Jeff, ever think of running a node to help strengthen the network? Given the current characteristics of the network, I don't see my contribution could bring anything to it. It's just solid enough. If there was a time at which they are desperate and it doesn't work, of course, I'd be willing to give my resources. But right now, there's no reason for me to do this. By the way, I do have the Bitcoin blockchain, because I do have a node, basically, that can be operating. But I'm just not running it. And I'm not updating it like every day or so. I have it on my hard drive, and that's just out of principle, really. But yeah, I would be ready to deploy resources if the Bitcoin network ever needed help, but they're not there. They are. No single human being can strengthen the Bitcoin network as it stands. It is absolutely strong. Paul Ingrazia says, wow, Manhattan DA removed the text of the Trump indictment and statement of facts from the DA's webpage. What's going on? Did they finally realize their case was so weak that it would implode as soon as it became exposed to the public? Yeah, good question. Why did the document go off the website? Are they feeling the weakness? Do they want it to stop spreading on the internet? I have no idea. Maybe it's just because their website couldn't handle the traffic. And as a last news item, Lamborghini's first plug-in supercar will replace the Aventador. The latest addition to the Lamborghini lineup is the Revuelto, which replaces the Aventador. This marks the first time Lamborghini has developed a supercar with plug-in hybrid technology. However, Revuelto isn't your average hybrid car. With a 6.5-liter V12 naturally aspirated petrol engine, two electric motors on the front axle, and a single motor mounted to an 8-speed dual-clutch auto transmission, the hybrid supercar produces a monstrous 1,000 horsepower. Lamborghini claims the Revuelto can reach 60 miles per hour in just 2 seconds and reach a top speed in excess of 217 miles per hour. A tiny 3.8 kilowatt hour battery pack allows the sports car to achieve 6.2 miles of range in full electric mode. I won't buy it. I don't have the means, but perhaps there are some people in our community that are doing quite well on the Bitcoin market. We can see their updates every day on the finance section in the Discord. If you'd like to follow what they have to say, those are the big rollers who maybe could afford this Lamborghini. Alimer says, Walmart is chomping at the bit to do away with their human workforce. It can't be good for business. Having someone who looks like that slicing lunch meat in public, this dude wouldn't have be welcome in polite society 25 years ago. Okay, so you're talking about something I didn't show, or are you talking about something I showed? Because I don't know who you're talking about. Anyways, Dr. Deadname says, JF rides a sled pulled by polar bears. Exactly, bear force. I'm sure Owen would take issue with me taking the bear animal, because I know it is he is the bear, the papa bear. But yeah, why don't we measure our car power in bear force? Bear power. How much bear power does your Hyundai Accent have? Bye-bye. Thank you.